Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Wise Women Media Radio Show, and thank you for joining us this evening. We have a lot to talk about. For one thing, today was the solstice. We also have a super moon that's happening on Sunday. Lots of cosmic things happening. Lots of really good vibes and good energy for a change instead of hearing about the news and the negative energy. So we do have cosmic ways of turning things around and making positives out of negatives. I wanted to play a little bit about the supermoon. This is from Dr. Michelle Thaler. She is speaking to us from NASA, NASA, Goddard Space Center, and she'll tell us a little bit about what a supermoon is. Hang on just a second while I cue this up.
Joining us now from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center is Dr. Michelle Thaler. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So tell us, what exactly is a supermoon and will it affect Earth?
Well, a supermoon happens when you get a full moon near perigee. And perigee is our word for the closest approach the moon makes to the Earth every month. Apogee is the farthest away. You see, the moon's orbit is not a perfect circle. It's actually a little elliptical. Sometimes it's a little farther away, sometimes a little closer. And that means that the size of the moon seems to change in the sky. And when you get a full moon that happens when the moon is very close, that's called a supermoon. Now, as far as the effects on the Earth, nothing very direct. The actual size of the moon in the sky doesn't change very much. It's only about 12% larger than an average full moon. And as you may know, the highest tides of the month happen at full moon and new moon. These are called the spring tides of each month. And because the moon is a little closer than normal, that means the tides will be a little bit higher than normal as well. But we're talking about a change of less than an inch. So one of the challenges about measuring what they call the Proxygean tides, the high tides associated with a supermoon, is even measuring it at all. It's a fun thing to actually detect. It's not something that you can easily see.
So when is the best time to view the supermoon? Will it look different from other full moons?
Well, to me, the best time to view any full moon is right at sunset, because that's when it rises. And when you see the moon with respect to the horizon, with buildings and trees or whatever, it just seems to look so much more spectacular. It looks larger. In reality, the size change is not that much. The moon at perigee, or closest, is just a little bit larger than the moon when it's farther away. There really isn't a best time at night to view this. Kind of a trivia that the actual moment of supermoon, when it's both closest and the most full, is going to be at 7:30 a.m. this Sunday. But that's actually after the moon has set. So I would say any time on Saturday night, go out and look at this beautiful, big, bright full moon. My personal favorite time is right after sunset.
NASA has a major observatory in orbit around the moon right now, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. What are some of the cool things you're seeing?
Well, yeah, so we actually have an observatory orbiting the moon right now, and we are returning spectacular high-resolution images of the entire lunar surface. We can see all the Apollo landing sites, the footprints of the astronauts. The poles of the moon are fascinating places. There are actually craters both at the north and south pole of the moon where the sun never shines. You never get any sunlight at all. And, of course, those are very difficult to image, but we're actually bouncing lasers down to the moon. We're studying the topography of these craters. And there's evidence that there may be ice actually frozen into the soil in these permanently shadowed craters. So there may be more water on the moon, frozen water, than we suspected. So LRO is telling us so much about how the moon came to be, how it changes over time. We've recorded the coldest temperature in the entire solar system with LRO in one of these permanently shadowed craters. It's about 23 degrees Celsius above absolute zero, which is actually much colder than 400 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. So just a fascinating place, and we're finding out new things all the time. There's so much more to learn about this familiar object in the sky.
I understand that LRO has taken some really incredible images. Can you talk about some of those?
Well, I know that certainly some of my favorite images are of the Apollo landing sites. In some cases, you can actually see the American flag still up. I'm also a particular fan of the central mountain peak inside Tycho Crater. You can see this gorgeous mountain right inside the crater. There are boulders on it that are as big as baseball stadiums. And I just love the variation of the lunar terrain. There are dark lava plains that are relatively smooth. There are high regions where it's very rocky and bouldery. It tells us about the evolution of the solar system. You can actually see the scars left by huge impacts. Here again, we have that gorgeous mountain inside Tycho Crater. That one boulder you see in the middle is the size of an entire football stadium. It's incredibly huge. The moon is a relic of a more exciting and more violent time in our solar system's formation. When the planets were coming together, lots of things were colliding. We think the moon may have been created during a super collision where the Earth was actually hit by something the size of a planet. So the moon is so serene, and we see it, it's so familiar to us. It's also dramatic and violent, and the stories associated with it just really fire my imagination.
Tell us, where can we learn more about the moon?
Well, I would say if you want to go through some of the best images NASA has of the moon, go to the LRO website. That would be nasa.gov/LRO for Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. Look at the Apollo landing sites. Look at the giant mountains on the moon. Have fun exploring your closest neighbor in space.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here today. Enjoy the supermoon.
So that was from NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, and that was Dr. Michelle Saller describing exactly what a supermoon is, since so many people don't really have a don't really know the definition of it. It's a term that we kind of throw around whenever it's happening, but to have a clear definition is great. I wanted to give kudos to our sponsors, the ones who are responsible for getting us on the air every week and making sure that we're here. Daughters of Isis, Florida Nature Photos, Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio, Power New Media and Public Relations, Roundtree 7, Tarot and Stars, and the Hoodoo Blog. And we can't forget the Common Projects Network, which is the network that we broadcast under, along with Here Be Monsters. So many thanks to them for allowing us this space on their vast network. To check out more, go to Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio so you can see the other shows that come on throughout the week. that broadcast on this network that are definitely news you can use, and a lot of spiritual stuff too. You can find us online at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. We also welcome possible guests and show topic suggestions. So you can email me at anitastewart@gmail.com or at wisewomenmedia.gmail.com or leave a comment on our blog at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com, and I will be sure to reply. If you would like to call in this evening, our number is 213-816-0357. Again, 213-816-0357. This is an open mic night, so you can talk about anything you like. I'm going to continue on and give us some more information about what's happening cosmically. And then we're going to hit up some of the news stories of the day. One of the, of course, the big thing, the big event that happened today, and also this is on my bucket list, is the annual gathering of freaky people, freaky, happy, loving, beautiful people at Stonehenge on the Wiltshire Plain in England. It's on my bucket list to at least go there once, either for winter solstice or summer solstice, before I die. They supposedly, according to the news article, had, 20,000 people greeted the day today. And I'll just give a little heads up on some of the article that I got from The Guardian. It says, they came in thousands, some worshipped, others partied. Many were there simply to enjoy the atmosphere of the summer solstice at Stonehenge. More than 20,000 people were at the ancient monument to greet the sunrise at 4:52 a.m. at the start of the longest day of the year. After a warm, moonlit night, the mist and the mizzle descended, making it impossible to judge the moment when the sun rose over the Wiltshire Plain without an accurate watch. But it did not matter much. I've had a lovely time, said Belle Gay, a 21-year-old pagan from Exeter, who was on her first pilgrimage to Stonehenge. It doesn't concern me that we couldn't actually see the sunrise. That's how nature is. You can't control the elements, and that's why it's all so special. It's such a beautiful, peaceful place. Arthur Pendragon, who claims to be a reincarnation of the once and future king and is a poster boy of the pagans at solstice, was keen to make peace his key message. As the sun ascended invisibly, he called for peace in the east, west, north, and south. That's what it's all about. We want peace and fairness for all. Pendragon, who sports white, long white robes, set about knighting new followers to his druidic order, the Loyal Arthurian War Band, which he described as the political wing of the religion. We're the ones who get into trees to stop road building and take on people who like English heritage over access to the stones. We're sworn to fight for truth, for honor, and for justice. So if you'd like to see that article, all you need to do is put in a search, summer solstice, thousands descend on Stonehenge to greet the longest day. There's some videos, there's plenty of comments on the article, and pictures that were taken today of the 20,000 that visited that very, very important, not only historical, but spiritual site. And, of course, summer solstice here was honored everywhere in the United States. There was an article in the Washington Post called Summer Solstice 2013, Northern Hemisphere's Longest Day and Highest Sun of the Year, with a beautiful picture of the sun finally setting in Alaska at 1 a.m. This was last Sunday on June 16th. This was in Anchorage, Alaska. So they have their sunset at 1 a.m. and today, they had a 19-hour day, 19 hours and 21 minutes for their solstice. So amazing, amazing cosmic time. Back at Stonehenge, they had quite a lot of revelers and some great drumming, and I was able to find a video that was just uploaded. It has 35 views on it, but the Hare Krishnas made an appearance there along with many other pagan religions, and they danced and partied and had a great time. But here's some of the music you would have heard if you were there.
Thank you.
So that was some of the revelers happening at Stonehenge just a little bit earlier today. Like I said, it's a brand new video that was just uploaded onto YouTube, and that was the audio from it. Sounded like a lot of fun, and definitely want to make it there at some point, either for winter solstice or summer solstice. I'm going to be playing another song by Yuna, and this is a cover of the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun. Song by Yuna, and that was a cover of the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun. I wanted to direct people to a great astrologer who regularly writes for Op-Ed News. She also has a blog. She's an author. Her name is Kathy Pagano, and she put an article out on Op-Ed News early in the month. It was called June's Cosmic Story, Gemini New Moon, June 8th, and Capricorn Full Moon on June 23rd, 2013. The peak of the moon will actually be at 7 in the morning Sunday, so it's best advisable if you're going to be doing any kind of ritual work or working under the full moon that you do it tomorrow night. Her article really had some really interesting information about what's happening in the world politically. So I'll just kind of read a few excerpts from it, and I encourage everybody, it's a rather long article, go to Op-Ed News, look up Kathy Pagano as an author, and read the whole article, which is 4 pages long. She starts out by saying, our financial institutions and corporations are still raking in immense profits while the people carry the load of worldwide debt. The corporate control of government is flagrant. The U.S. Senate refusing to deal with GMO labeling at the behest of Monsanto, among other obvious abuses of corporate power. Corporations are fighting for their hard-won, bought rights, which can be taken away when we, the people, have the will. And, of course, there's the refusal to vote for tighter gun control restrictions in the U.S. First world workers are losing their jobs, while third world workers are losing their lives as a result of poor working conditions and corporate greed. Even our pal Apple refuses to pay its fair share of taxes, hiding their profits overseas. Climate change has reached a tipping point, and many people in the know see a bleak future for humanity if we don't start taking these environmental changes seriously. You read the news, so I don't need to go on about what's happening in the world. But people are also standing up to the powers that be, already gathering together to show that we are many and that we will overcome in the end. And she says, this, just watch as we complete the seven squares between Uranus and Pluto in March 2015. While each of us came into this lifetime to do something about the state of the world, we also need to stand together to create societal change. Because at this time of the changing of the ages, we have to make a conscious choice to evolve, or we doom our children's children to a hard world. Our work is to align ourselves with our inner spirit and follow our destiny. That destiny might just be to become conscious so that we make use of our free will rather than follow the herd mentality of our society. Or we might have a bigger destiny, one that involves shaking up the power structures that shape our society. Whatever you are called to be and do, this is the summer to take yourself seriously. As I've said before, this potent challenge between Uranus, the planet of awakening and rebellion, and Pluto, the planet of evolution, which involves death and rebirth, needs to be worked out within each of us so that when we go out into the world, we know what our values are and what we stand for. Like the 60s, this decade will shape our future. If we let things ride, the future will be bleak. If we take our responsibilities seriously, we can create a different future, even if we can't see our way to it yet. The future of our world is in our hands. What will we do with it? Very, very profound words from Kathy Pagano. And like I said, I encourage you to go to Op-Ed News and read the whole article about June's cosmic story. Really great. And it's not all political. A lot of it is just very cosmic, talking about the alignments of the planets and just the general energies happening globally. I'll play us a song. Of course, this might be familiar to some of you oldsters out there like me.
me. I am the faithful light. It didn't take long to find me, and I'm gonna stay the night. I'm being the part of my
I'm Being Followed by a Moon Shadow by Cat Stevens, Moonshine by Bruno Mars, and that last song was an oldie but goodie by Terry Jacks, Seasons in the Sun. And even though he's talking about the sun, it was kind of an allegory for, the whole song was an allegory for suicide. Quite interesting, but so much imagery used. With the sun and the moon. We do have a caller. Let me go ahead and pick up the line. Okay, 845 area code. Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from? Oh, it looks like the call was dropped. If you're out there, give a call back and I'll try to get you on the air. The next song we've got is The Sun by Maroon 5.
I think of her,
And that was The Sun by Maroon 5. Some news has just come in probably within the past hour, actually 18 minutes ago. A one-page criminal complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in Alexandria, Virginia, accused Mr. Snowden, this is Edward Snowden, of theft of government property and willful communication of classified communications intelligence to an unauthorized person. So it looks like they are going to prosecute Edward Snowden, the whistleblower and truth teller, just like they did with Bradley Manning, with the fullest extent of the law. This is unprecedented, and definitely I think there's going to be some real blowback from people all over the country that are going to protest against this. And, of course, Bradley Manning's trial continues at Fort Meade, Maryland. So there is a lot of news, and a lot of it has to do with truth actually being revealed. And I think with truth being revealed, that's definitely sun energy. So let's hear another song about the sun. This is called The Sun Is Up by Inna.
Thank you. My love, I can't make some
I want to thank all of you for joining us on the Wise Women Media Radio Show this evening and listening to our favorite songs about the sun and the moon. And we didn't have any callers, and that was okay because there was plenty of music to play. The last songs were Inna, The Sun Is Up, Song About the Moon by Simon and Garfunkel, and of course we just played Moon Dance by Van Morrison. And to close the show, I wanted to give you all a heads up. Next week, we will be talking about the massive dolphin, fish, and sea animal die-off over on the other coast of Florida, Indian River Lagoon. This was written about by Craig Pittman, a local environmental writer, and it was also on a worldwide map website list of sorts that lists the hazards that are going on globally, and very serious stuff. From what I understand, the algae over there has become chocolate brown instead of the fluorescent green from nitrogen runoff. So it's debatable on what's happening there, but what they're trying to line up very quickly over there is some professional opinions and some water samples that we can have results on by next week. So this should be a very in-depth story. It'll probably take up the whole hour and a half
next week, so stay tuned for that. And I will be doing promotional information about that story way in advance. So with that said, I'm going to close the song or close the show with one of my favorite Hendrix songs. One of my favorites. I can't say my favorite, but this was issued posthumously, so it was something he wrote towards the end of his very short career. Enjoy. This is Third Stone from the Sun by Hendrix, and we'll see you on the radio next week. Thank you.